Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later, we hear about the most awesomely demented fans in music. But right now, it's not often that a season announcement for an orchestra includes an Australian didgeridoo or cutting-edge choreography, the pop singer Nellie Mackay, and film footage from NASA. But those are just a few of the highlights of the Brooklyn Philharmonic's 2007 season, which starts with two different concerts this week at BAM's Opera House. This is the second season under the Brooklyn Phil's young music director, Michael Christie, and he joins us this afternoon. Michael, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Great to be back with you.
So the title of this overall season is The Sound of Brooklyn.
Indeed.
The Sound of Brooklyn has apparently changed quite a bit in the last, 10 years or so. I mean, you know, we've got gentrification that has set in, your SUV strollers and million-dollar apartments and stuff. What is The Sound of Brooklyn today? Who is the audience that you're targeting?
Well, the idea with our season, as many people will see, is that we're targeting really an audience that knows itself in a certain way, but is very open to exploring new things. That's why we got our BP Presents, for example.
So BP Presents being the things with the singer-songwriters, with people like Suzanne Vega, Laurie Anderson, Nellie Mackay, and people like that.
That's correct. We start tomorrow night with our first, we have four ladies together. Joan Osborne, Suzanne Vega, Nellie Mackay, and Laurie Anderson.
Right.
And it you know, what we're thinking about with that whole series is trying to link up this curiosity of Brooklyn, these people that are moving in, with the kinds of artists who are transformational in some way or another. When you look at Anthony and the Johnsons, for example, you know, here's somebody who's collaborating Nico Mole, so we've got this classical meets pop and what that means.
But he also collaborates with Lou Reed, so there's a kind of classic rock thing that he's bringing to the table as well. And then, of course, the fact that he, you know, plays with gender roles and things like that.
Exactly. And, you know, Laurie Anderson tomorrow night, all of the four pieces that she's doing will be the first, they'll be world premieres. They'll be the first time she's embraced this project as an opportunity for her to expand what she's doing too.
So there's an awful lot of people, you know, frequenting the galleries in Dumbo and things like that, and expensive latte shops in Clinton Hill and Park Slope. I mean, do you see that as a kind of a potential untapped group of future classical music listeners?
Absolutely. These people are very sophisticated in what they do in life. And I think they, from what I've understood, they've got very sophisticated musical taste. That's why Anthony and the Johnsons, for example, is so successful with our, you know, the Park Slope folks and, other areas. But then also Laurie Anderson has been a fixture of South Manhattan and Brooklyn. If it wasn't for her, I don't know what Brooklyn Academy would look like in some ways. The Next Wave Festival was Laurie Anderson in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special time to be working with these kinds of artists for an orchestra like us, because it's what I've been trying to do is say we are part of this community, and the community thinking.
So it's not just, you know, leave the classical stuff to us and you guys do all the rest. It's we're going to be involved in all the rest as well.
No, and we're really trying to make sure this is not a Pops concert. I've really been trying very hard to say this is not Pops. This is a community musical event.
All right, well, that's tomorrow night. But then the orchestra, you know, sort of begins in earnest on Saturday night with this program called Earth Awakened, which features The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky with new choreography by Nicholas Leichter, who you worked with last year very successfully.
Yep.
As well as the Australian composer Peter Sculthorpe and a piece called Earth Cry, which features the sound of the Australian Aboriginal tube instrument known as the didgeridoo. Is there a connection? I'm sure there is. What is the connection, let me say, between Peter Sculthorpe and Igor Stravinsky?
Well, first of all, we throughout our whole season, we wanted to make sure that the orchestra is playing some really big, meaty standard orchestra repertory. And so that's the Mahler 1, that's the Planets, and that's the Rite of Spring. And it also gives us a chance to start some new things that we're doing. So, for example, over the next three seasons, we're doing each of the three major Stravinsky ballets, each with a different dance company. And later when we have...
So those are Rite of Spring, Petrushka, and...
Firebird. And in exactly the order you just mentioned.
Okay.
And also we've announced a multi-year collaboration with Ridge Theatre. Mm-hmm. As well, so they're
doing the whole Earth Awakened thing. Yep. I mean, you know, Stravinsky's Rite of Spring was almost like this pagan ritual brought to musical and dance life. Yep. Back in 1913. Is Peter Sculthorpe's music kind of similarly earthy and animistic and ancient?
It is more epic, I would say, that there's a vastness. And the reason that I thought they worked so well together is that Stravinsky seems to get the inner pulse of the mm-hmm. of Earth Awakening, whereas Peter Sculthorpe gets the vast outback and the big gorges in Australia.
Well, here is a little bit of the piece Earth Cry from the Australian composer Peter Sculthorpe, whose music is part of the Saturday Night program at the BAM Opera House, from the Brooklyn Philharmonic and conductor Michael Christie. That's music from the Australian composer Peter Sculthorpe. Earth Cry features a symphony orchestra, in this case the Queensland Symphony Orchestra of Australia, but it also features the didgeridoo, the indigenous instrument of the Australian Aborigines. Michael Christie is the music director of the Brooklyn Philharmonic, performing this work on Saturday. Who's our conductor here in this Australian recording?
Well, that would happen to be me.
So you've done your time down under.
Well, my wife's from Australia as well, and we met in Brisbane, and it was there with the Queensland Orchestra that we put a whole CD of Peter Sculthorpe together. And it was with this collaboration with William, myself, and Peter.
William Barton. Who plays the didgeridoo.
Exactly. We got into a conversation with Peter after some concert, you know, it's the usual thing, many beers consumed kind of thing. And we were asking him,
the usual thing? Many beers consumed?
Well, you know, where one composes something that has titles about a country, et cetera, or evoking some kind of imagery, is there something more specific involved? And he said, well, I have some Aboriginal ideas in mind and some distant inklings of folk songs. And so we asked him if he had considered the didgeridoo, and he said, well, I've been thinking about it. And he had done something with the Chrono String Quartet as well with the didgeridoo. And so we challenged him and said, would you consider looking at five of your pieces and adding some of this Aboriginal sound? And that's where the album came from.
All right. Now, you mentioned before that tomorrow night you have these newly orchestrated songs by Laurie Anderson, Joan Osborne, Suzanne Vega, Nellie Mackay. But you went to some lengths to say this is not a pops concert. What is it then?
Well, it's a collaborative concert between rock artists and symphony orchestra. But it's not... It's not the usual format where the orchestra plays our light classical favorites on the first half, and then we're just the backup band for the pop act on the second half. This is...
Well, now, you actually did this on the Letterman show last week.
Yes.
And were you... I mean, you were there with Nellie Mackay.
Yes.
And what, some smaller version of the Brooklyn Phil?
Yeah, we could only fit 14 into the studio, so we did a slightly reduced version. But the idea with this with these concerts was that we are offering to these artists a symphony orchestra, and we're saying... Well, in the case of Laurie Anderson, she's making up her own new charts. But with the other ones, they're revisiting some of their other material and saying, well, look, if we're doing more than just having a pianist and a guitar, how can we change the feeling of these songs? And it's very interesting the way they've approached it.
Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I mean, first of all, would you ever get on Letterman, you know, without the pull of a singer like Nellie Mackay or Laurie Anderson or someone, you know, I mean, given the current state of American television?
Well, it's not the first time for the Brooklyn Phil, and certainly New York Philharmonic was on the roof with Laura Mazel of the Letterman show. So it's not unheard of.
Okay.
But it was a handy feature.
But this is, yeah, I mean, and it's something quite a bit different, you know.
It is.
It's basically giving these singer-songwriters a broader palette to work with, something Nellie Mackay is clearly keen to do, as we'll hear in this song called I Am Nothing from her new album.
You, traffic on the line, strangers all around, nothing here but time. I don't see a sound floating high above every little town. People who can love, please don't leave me now.
That's Nellie Mackay. I Am Nothing is from her latest album, and you can hear almost a chamber music approach with the strings and the piano. And going from a chamber music to a more orchestral sound tomorrow night when she joins my guest, Michael Christie, and the rest of the Brooklyn Phil for a concert that will also feature Joan Osborne and Laurie Anderson and Suzanne Vega. This is Michael Christie's second season at the helm of the Brooklyn Phil. You're 32 years old.
Yes.
Most symphony orchestras throughout the world, whether they're the New York Phil or a regional part-time orchestra, would love to have 32-year-olds filling their concert hall. How do you do that?
Well, I think, for one thing, it's a little ambitious to say we're only going after 32-year-olds. I know many of my other 32-year-old friends are doing family things. They're working insane hours. Having just lived in Australia for a couple of years, where they routinely get 4 to 6 weeks vacation versus our two, there's a certain way about how we live now that just causes people to be focused outside of entertainment.
But people do get their entertainment. I mean, 32-year-olds are going to clubs and they're
Absolutely.
Going to galleries and they're going. So you have to make them go to the BAM Opera House.
Exactly.
How do you know? Is that the reason for the NASA film footage, for example?
Well, the Brooklyn Philharmonic for years now, particularly under Robert Spano, really mastered the concert as event concept. And so now what I'm doing, I'm trying to take that another step and say, we're the Brooklyn Philharmonic presenting this event, and I want to put the spotlight slightly more onto the orchestra and on really what we do best, which is this vast repository of fantastic music. And I think my track record with other orchestras that I've run, and as we're seeing with our subscriptions with the Brooklyn Phil, is that little by little that average age is going down.
Well, apparently, according to the Brooklyn Philharmonic and their own study, the average age at a Brooklyn Phil concert is 10 years younger than the national average.
That's correct.
That sounds great, except that those younger people tend not to be the kind of well-moneyed patrons of the arts that many other larger symphony orchestras really depend on for their survival. So are you trying to play? How do you do that? You know, you have to sort of maintain a strong financial base for the orchestra as well as an artistic one that invites new people in.
Well, that's the reason why standard repertory forms the core of what we do. And that's why I haven't abandoned that in my programming and have said to the folks that are really helping us out, because you've made your money and you're doing your philanthropic causes now, and part of your cause is us. You're going to hear the great repertory that you love. And I think most of those people understand when we add the NASA film footage to the planets, when we add the choreography back to Rite of Spring, when we bring a klezmer clarinet in to juxtapose with the Mahler one, that they understand that there's something that is going to catch that next wave. And I think it's just an investment. You invest in the 30-year-olds now so that when they're 50 and 60-year-old and they've made their fortunes, that they're going to give back to the community.
And I guess you're talking about a generation that grew up with MTV and is used to seeing something as they're experiencing live music.
Yes.
So, sure, NASA footage for Gustav Holst's The Planets. Seems to make sense.
It does make sense.
It's part of the upcoming series of the Brooklyn Philharmonic, which begins tomorrow night, and then the orchestra with the danced version of The Rite of Spring and the music of Peter Sculthorpe on Saturday night. And also what's going on in that area where you are, Michael, is the much-delayed BAM Cultural District. City planners, after years of delay, finally announced that they're ready to move forward to transform the whole area of Fort Greene around BAM into this kind of hotbed for artists and music lovers and whatever. What's the effect going to be on the Brooklyn Phil?
Well, we're very excited, for one thing, to be part of that. We've been an institution among this growing and gyrating arts community there. And we're involved in all those conversations. So we're very pleased that we've been recognized as a vital force in that. And quite frankly, we've known that those parking lots were going to become something eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about it.
All right. Well, there's a whole lot going on in the area around BAM, and among it, four splendid concerts by the Brooklyn Philharmonic. You can get all the details on the Soundcheck page of our website. The four concerts by the Philharmonic itself, and then there are two sort of ancillary events with various singer-songwriters. Check us out, soundcheck at WNYC.org, the website. Michael Christie is the music director of the Brooklyn Philharmonic. Michael, thanks for coming by today.
It's been a pleasure.
Still to come, the most awesomely demented fans, from parrot heads to fish heads. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.